It's going to begin with Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings here in just a heartbeat. We want to let you know you've got an opportunity to see the Sacramento Kings play at the Golden One Center December 29th against the Phoenix Suns. If you're listening to us on the app, just take a screenshot of you listening. That's it. Just take a screenshot there of what's inside the app and tweet it to us at Damian Barling or at Jason Ross 1140. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, just go to the App Store on whatever smartphone you use, even if you use a tablet. You could do it there. You could take a picture of yourself listening at khdk.com. All of that works. Just tweet the picture to at Damian Barling, at Jason Ross 1140. In the App Store, just search KHDK. It'll be right there for you. You can so graciously click the five-star review while you're there also. And you can go back and relive this conversation we're about to have with Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. Garrett, I'm going to go out on a limb here, player, and say you're feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, I'm feeling real good, man. I can't lie. I just woke up about 30, 45 minutes ago because we landed at 3:15, and I got home around 4 o'clock. But other than that, I'm feeling great.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us, man. We really do.
So was that the right amount of sleep? Was that 9 hours even? Did we get in that perfect cycle there?
Man, I don't know. I just hit the bed right when I got home. And I set an alarm. I said I got to be on around 1. So I need to wake up around 12:30.
You didn't sleep on the plane on the way home?
I didn't sleep at all on the plane, man. What did I do? I may have slept 45 minutes out of a 6-hour flight.
Wow.
Read a little bit. Watched some film and just hung out with the guys.
Okay. All right. So what's a 6-hour flight, you know, what's a 6-hour flight like back after a couple of wins on the road?
It's a lot better than had we lost. You know, guys talking, guys reading. Most about half the team sleeps. Willie Cauley-Stein slept the entire time. De'Aaron Fox probably slept the entire time. Malachi sleeps. But, you know, some guys may be playing some cards, watching movies. But it's pretty chill.
Yeah. I know yesterday after the win, I heard sound from the coach. Coach Yeager talked about how one of the cool moments after the game and to acknowledge one of your teammates, Z-Bo, for getting that milestone of reaching 10,000 rebounds, kind of a little mini locker room celebration. What was that moment like for him and for you guys?
That was great, man. It's crazy because we were joking. We were like 10,000 rebounds with a 10-inch vertical. That's crazy. but, you know, I think the 20th player ever to do it, you know, it just speaks volumes of what type of career he's had and the consistency that he's played with. You know, they said it to him. And I wish I told the team, I said, I wish we had some, you know, a little cooler. We could dash him with water. But it was just great, man. And to get a win and then to have that on top of that, that was just icing on the cake, bro.
What's a better feeling? Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings, by the way, joining us here on the Lowdown. What's a better feeling? You hit a clutch shot against Philadelphia the night before. Then you had that chase down block last night. What's a better feeling for you?
The win, man. I mean, the chase down block was cool. But the clutch basket was real good because I think we ended up fouling on after the chase down block, so we didn't get the possession. So I think the basket was the best because, you know, if we had got the possession and went down and like Frank had a chase down and then we hit a three, that's tight. You know what I'm saying? But I'd say the clutch basket since we ended up fouling anyway.
Yeah, on your chase down block too. I love seeing the replay because a lot of times you'll see someone pin it against the glass. You kind of got under the shot.
I saw he was going up with two, so they probably called a foul if I hit it aggressively. So I tried to go under him and tip the ball out, and I was able to do it. I was watching film. Joe Harris jumped. He jumped slow, so I felt like I jumped and flew like forward pretty quickly. So it worked out for us.
Yeah, back-to-back wins. You guys have played really, really well. You had a really rough start. I think it was 1-8 to start the season on the road. You guys are 5-4 in your last 9 games. Is there something you can point to that just tangibly has changed with your team?
Wow. You know, obviously the last 2 games, I think we've done a little better job of starting off, having better starts. even though still the third quarter last night, you know, hurt us, even though they were making some shots that, you know, they're making some tough shots. But I think our ability to after we give up a run, because the NBA is a game of runs, mm-hmm. our ability to get hit and then continue to fight back, you know. It's in Philly, our second unit did a hell of a job of getting us back in the game. In Brooklyn, we did a great job of making shots and building a nice little lead that even if they did make a run, we still were in control of the game. So a few different things, but I think defensively and offensively, we're just learning our games and how to be successful.
You know, Garrett, I'm curious, as a player on this team, how do you feel like you are helping the young guys? Because, you know, I feel like it's trying to compete, trying to win every night, growing young guys as well. But right now, a lot of you, the veterans, are doing such the important stuff on a night-to-night basis. How do you feel like you are helping out some of the younger players on this roster?
Well, honestly, I think the biggest way, that's one of the age-old questions. Do you bring in young guys and just put them in the fire? Or do you actually allow them to see how the game is supposed to be played and then, you know, walk them slowly? I think just different nights when you're out there playing the right way, when they see you make the extra pass, when they see you make a chase down block or, a rebound here or there, I think just affecting the game, even though you may not be scoring a lot or shooting well. But also, obviously, just, you know, watching film with them, talking them through film during timeouts, talking to them about situations, what they should have done here or what they did do well here. Things of that nature are still going on. But when we're playing, I think just when you play the right way, you know, they'll do more what they see than what you tell them at the end of the day. So I think, me and George and Vince, when he's been playing, obviously Zeebo, Costa, trying to play the right way, because you can't talk about it and not do it.
You mentioned Costa Kufis. He's a topic of conversation here on this show frequently. What type of personality does Costa have?
Costa has a very unique personality. Costa, honestly, is probably the nicest guy in the NBA. He's the guy that's always saying, "I'm sorry," when he didn't even do anything wrong. Just a very nice guy. Real unique, has a very dry sense of humor. He would be great on The Office. Like, he has a very dry sense of humor. But he's a great guy. One thing about Costa, a tidbit about Costa that people won't know, he'll just randomly sing early to mid-90s R&B songs. He'll just start singing.
Stop it.
I promise you, Damon.
Stop.
And I still can't get over it, because he did that last year, my first year with him. And I'm like, "Costa, what you know about that?" He's singing Joe, or he's singing some Bribing Night, or he might be. I'm like, "What you, you know, Costa singing that late 90s R&B, some Tyrese or something?"
We got to get Costa on the show.
Yeah.
We have got to get Costa on the show.
Is he any good at it?
I love Costa to death, man. Yeah. I mean, the singing part of me, I don't know about that, but I'm saying, he knows all the words, I tell you that much. And it's crazy, because he just randomly will just start singing. Whether we're, you know, guys are taking a shower in the locker room getting dressed, Costa just start humming and singing, and, you know, he might do a little Ja Rule and Ashanti, something like that.
Wow.
So, that's Costa Kufis for you, man. He's a very unique individual. Great guy, the ultimate pro.
Oh, I'm so happy right now. Has anyone ever, like, pulled him aside and said, "Hey, Costa, we got to maybe just shave, you know, get you a fresh cut up"?
Oh, yeah, he knows. He knows. And we talked to him about it. It's really not even a topic of discussion anymore, because he's so aware of it. That's just Costa. That's just, you know, that hair. He has about 18 strands up top, and he pulls them forward, and, you know, that's just how he is. He makes fun of himself enough for anybody to get on him.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know it's always better when you guys win. We were saying, Garrett, we hadn't had you after a win. You guys had win games, but we haven't had you after a win. It's nice to have this. It seems like you guys are having fun, too, while you're out there. Is that accurate?
I think that's another big difference. You know, guys are having fun playing. You know, even though we lost in Toronto, you know, guys had fun playing. Guys were competing. You know, I think obviously in Brooklyn and then in Philly, we had fun playing, but you know, guys are having fun and enjoying the game. And at the end of the day, we started this game as youngsters, and we had fun playing a basketball game, man. And when you can get back to that feeling, positive things will happen.
Garrett, you know it, being in the NBA, that holidays are never really normal for you guys. I mean, you know, really, Thanksgiving is weird. Christmas, New Year's can all be weird. You guys are in town, kind of. I think you're leaving at Christmas Day to get to L.A., but how are you going to kind of spend Christmas? How will that go for you and maybe some of your teammates?
Well, I'm probably going to go to Christmas service, church service. But I think they just finished their itinerary. I'm assuming we're going to probably have practice in the afternoon or evening, and then fly there Christmas at that night, so people with kids and stuff can, you know, obviously wake up with their family in the morning. But that's about it. My family's actually coming in town the day after we play in L.A.
Nice.
My dad and my stepmom and my little sister. So that'll be fun. That'll definitely be fun to get to see the fam. I think they'll be here through New Year's. So. I'm just gonna relax, get some church in me, and then get ready to go beat LA.
Not a bad game for them to come out and watch at the Golden One Center that night either.
Not at all. You know they picked it up for a reason.
Yeah, they saw the schedule. Yeah,
yep. Cleveland will be here. The King will be here that night. Well, man, Garrett, congratulations on the back-to-back wins. Keep that rolling Saturday against the Spurs, and thanks for getting up for us, man. Go get some rest. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me again.
All right, that is Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings.
Everybody's got the visual now.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
What Costa was thinking.
Oh, my
in
gosh.
In the meme.
He was trying
like,
to figure out.
Which song am I going to sing when we get in the locker room? It's going to be Ja Rule.
So our first order of business for the new year, there are two things I want. We're going to have a show meeting right here on the air. We're going to just do it all together. You got suggestions for 2018? If you have suggestions for our Christmas extravaganza that we planned 7 seconds before the show started, you can text them in. You can call them. You can do whatever you want to do here at 44-1140 or 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
That was great.
Two things I want that first week in January
that
we got to ask for. Costa Kufis.
Okay.
This is a must now.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about basketball with Costa Kufis. And the one that we've talked about for a while, we got to ask for Vlade.
Okay.
Just if they say no, it doesn't matter if they say no.
Yeah.
But we just got to ask.
Because
I think they know what they're going to get if they send them here.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have to preface it with anything.
Right.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Come out 2018 with a bang. That was fun. Boy, a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
Man, oh man, you win two games in a row. He woke up 30 minutes ago to just to talk to us. Man, that conversation had an entirely different tone than this. I haven't heard him that happy since we brought up LSU football a few month ago. And that was after a loss. The loss was so bad. Jay Ross and I were like, hey, what do you think we talk 10 minutes about, you know, to Garrett Temple and just not bring up basketball?
Yeah.
See if we can get through it.
Yeah.
And I think he, Garrett knows what's up. I think he figured out what we were doing at some point, and he just loosened up and had fun. But, man, that was the happiest I've ever heard. That's the happiest I've heard of Sacramento King all season.
What's funny, too, is I know he brought up the plane. It's in traveling a little bit with the team. It's so true because I've been, you know, you come home and maybe it's just been an awful game or a disastrous trip, and I'll let people, oh, man, what was the plane like? Well, honestly, once you get to the plane and it's a little bit removed from the game, and I think he said Willie slept the whole way, whatever your routine is, you pretty much – it could have been the greatest win of the year. If guys listen to music or play cards, they're going to do that. If they sleep or read, they're going to do that. It just kind of settles in and you're flying home. I mean, you're happy if you won and
sure.
You're not if you lost, but I don't think that it's not just brutal if it's the worst loss ever.
And it's amazing how – different some people's routines are because there are people, you know, who, you know, this being around, that are just amped after basketball mm-hmm. games, and I think you're one of them. Like mm-hmm. you're a super night owl. Like it's not like when Kings games are over, J. Ross isn't going home and going to bed. Mm-hmm. Like when you work in that atmosphere, particularly, you know, I can only imagine what it is for players. Man, they're up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Like yeah. it didn't surprise me at all that he said he didn't sleep on the ride home.
Yeah,
it surprised the flight home. It surprised me a little bit more when you know guys like Willie who were so involved in the game that those guys slept because. But again, they have routines that,
yeah.
you know, not everyone has that same, that afterglow
yeah.
of a game.
But if you sleep, I mean, I don't know if Willie slept the whole way, but are close to it, then does he get home and still have a full night? I mean, who knows? Maybe he did.
Well, what's funny, I hate that people can sleep on planes.
Like, and can be completely out.
Gone.
Yeah.
That pisses me off.
Right. You can't?
No.
Yeah, at all.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Do
I could
try?
Be. Yes.
Oh.
Desperately.
Oh, well, so you're trying
and not. Desperately try,
yeah.
and I can't.
You have it the makes, head bob, like the.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're out. How long was I asleep? 4 seconds. That's it. I thought it was up for like a half. No, four
no,
seconds.
No.
Yeah.
It is. I can probably point to. There. I can point to one time that I slept on a plane, but I was probably up maybe 30 hours.
Really?
Before.
Even when you went to the Olympics and stuff and. You didn't
sleep
on that?
Well, okay, I take that back. I did sleep on that flight.
Okay.
But I slept on the flight home. I didn't sleep on the flight there.
Okay.
I slept on the flight home, but only because I was given drugs.
Oh, okay.
Huh. I was given drugs. That's why I slept. Like, we took, I mean, that was like
on purpose?
Yeah. Yes. At least I think so.
Okay.
It was on purpose. But yeah, I took copious amounts of drugs to make sure I
the worst asleep. One for me was when I went to England in high school. And we left at like 5 o'clock, and the idea is like, oh, you'll sleep on the plane, and then when we get there, it's going to be morning, so you won't have to adjust. Except I did not sleep at all. Get there at 7 o'clock, and basically slept walk for 10 hours.
Yeah.
What messed me up on the flight to China, because that's the longest flight that I've ever been on, is I left SFO at maybe like 8 or 9 or somewhere like that, but. Because it was daylight the whole flight,
mm-hmm.
like it never got dark, and so when I got off the plane, I was like, hey,
yeah.
let's roll. Like it was like cool.
Yeah,
it's still the like what was I on that flight for? A couple of hours, and I was on a double decker. They put me in the wrong seat. Like I don't know how this got screwed up, but they screwed it up, and I didn't care. It was one of those 2-story planes.
Wow, I've never been on one of those.
Okay, so on the second story is very small. It's just like one cabin, and you just have like free reign of the place. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That gave me that seat on it.
Yeah.
Total accident. The computer glitch. There was a computer glitch when I got there, and I was like, oh, I wanted to look into using points or whatever to upgrade. Oh, there's something wrong with the computer. Here. And she handed me the seat, and it was like, I didn't know what it was when I got it, but went, oh, you come up here. And it wasn't like business class or mm-hmm. first class. It was just like, it might have been first class, but not business class.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah.
Oh,
you didn't
yeah.
need the drugs on
Wait,
that
what?
One.
Not on that one.
That doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make sense?
It wasn't business class, but it could have been first class?
I think it was first class. Business class is like, on those long flights, is like bigger than first class, right?
No.
Are you
first
sure?
First class is the best.
First is the best, isn't it? On all flights.
Are you sure?
First class is, yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Are you, I think.
100%.
I'm closer to leaning on Chris on this.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
But business
then
class is still
it.
Nice.
Business class is super nice.
Yeah.
Okay, then reverse it.
Okay.
It was,
either way, it was great.
It was the second tier
yeah.
of expensive flights
yeah.
that they gave me on accident. But yeah, getting off the plane and it still being like really like screwed my head up.
Yeah,
like I was like completely thrown off, and it was so gross in China that didn't help either. It was
yeah.
like fog. I thought it was foggy, but it turns out that's
fog.
Just what. Yeah,
yeah,
it's just what China.
Try going
like.
To Mexico City.
No,
but,
thank you.
But there are literally people that get on the plane, get a window seat, and shut the window blind, lean their head against their like.
Nope.
People are still boarding.
Can't
and
do
they're
it.
Out. When, okay, Can't. Did you fly to sleep? Like you just.
Can't
I need to take
it.
A nap. I'm getting on the plane.
Yeah. Can not do it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. This is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so happy after. I just want to play that whole thing all over again. Okay. I got them mixed up. Text line is killing me for that. Okay, I got, for some reason, I don't know why I thought business class.
But either
class
way,
was,
if it was business class, it's business, nice.
Business, are you sure that business class isn't the one with like the recliners and the one that
they both have them?
Yeah,
oh, they
might
do?
Be really nice.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
just my first class was better.
Mine didn't have that. I just didn't have any seats in front of me because there was only like five rows or something like that.
That's great.
Extraordinary. Computer glitches are good sometimes,
yes.
People. One small thought. We're going to get into that here at some point.
Sure.
We'll get into that. We'll take a look at the AFC. Just wrapped up our conversation with Garrett Temple. If you missed that, download the app in the KHTK App Store or the Lowdown Podcast from whatever podcast platform you use. But if you use the app, there's an on-demand section. You can catch up with everything we talk about every day. You can also win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings December 29th at the Golden One Center. Just tweet us a screenshot of you listening to the Lowdown today. And remember, we'll do this today and tomorrow during our Christmas extravaganza. If you enter to win today and you don't win, you'll be entered to win also automatically, just like that. We'll get to one small thought here in about 10 minutes or so. JR, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, please, I'm enough. What's going on?
Almost.
Wow.
Almost, buddy. Almost.
Hey, that great interview with old Garrett there. I like to have a few drinks before I get on the plane.
And, that's not shocking.
Really? Especially if I have to go to SoCal and all the smog, you know, fly into the area.
Watch it.
UCLA is. But let's go ahead and start planning the playoffs. Let's revel up that bandwagon. Let's get excited about this Kings team, because that was pretty fun to watch those two games, and they're fun to watch, and it's a nice feeling for a pre-Christmas. Now, he said that his parents are coming to town to watch which game?
They'll be here, next week, so they'll see the Cavs, I think the Suns, and probably Memphis.
Nice. I'm going to be at the Suns game. I'm going to look for his parents.
You going to look for Damian?
That's, yep.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely look there, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Marquise got us nice tickets, so we'll be set. I'll be real close. And I'm excited about that. And, of course, the King coming in. Is there any chance – how is the linear championship going? Are the Cavs still the linear champion right now?
They are not.
Yeah, far removed.
We have a new linear champion. And, Jason, you nailed this the other day, the Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
They were the best team without it.
Thoughts for next year? You want thoughts for your show next year? What were you trying to come up with? Good ideas?
Sure, JR. What do you got?
I think guest callers should come into the studio once in a while and spend a little segment with you guys, show you how it's done.
JR, you are welcome in the building anytime. We've always said that. We have an open door policy. You could come in. You just have to get past Chris.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. If you can get past Chris, you're in. It doesn't matter.
Well,
we don't care.
Once the Republic's approved to be here in SAC, I think Chris and I will be best friends anyway.
Oh, dear.
We're all good.
Still far, far away from that.
Okie dokie. We'll leave it at that. Thank you, JR. Please stay out of trouble. We did get a couple of texts asking our thoughts on the MLS expansion. It's not really our wheelhouse. There are people a little bit more connected. I've been getting text messages for a few weeks that some of the news that came out today was coming.
Yeah.
It looks like an uphill battle for Sacramento, but again,
well, it sounds like there's maybe a small hope where before there was maybe looking like there wasn't any.
It looked about a week ago like this was not happening.
Yeah.
But now I'm not really sure what's as we said, it looks to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's still a battle.
Yes.
There's still a battle being fought. It's just it's uphill.
Yeah.
One small thought. Jay Ross and I will look at the AFC next here on the Lowdown.
Go Costa.
I'm so curious now. So curious. I have a new second favorite player. I don't know who my second favorite player was before.
Yeah.
But I think it's Costa now. Or he might even be
that quickly.
He
huh?
might even. Oh, I.
If, that was if, a game changer.
If you're rocking 90s aren't just randomly.
Yeah.
In the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You're a winner in my
yeah.
book.
And Garrett said, well, he at least knows the words.
May not sound good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know the words.
True. I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's why you turn it up louder.
Mm-hmm.
Once you turn it up loud enough, it doesn't matter if you know the words or not.
Just catch every third word and kind of get in there.
There are songs that I've been singing for decades.
Oh, I'm totally guilty.
That I couldn't tell you. Yeah. Like, I'm not exactly positive what he says
right
here. But for decades, yeah, I have sang it the same exact
exactly
way. And you can't tell me anything. You can literally tell me nothing. Is your house decorated? I meant to ask you. I don't know why I felt. Is it like a tree and lights and everything?
Uh-huh. Outside, too. Outside lights, all that stuff. Yeah.
I love how interested you are in Jason's Christmas routine.
Why?
You're always, you get your Christmas shopping done. Do you have it decorated, your house? Get the Christmas tree up around Thanksgiving?
How about you?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Is there any sign, like if I went to your house today and in July, same house?
Same house.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't have kids.
It's just right.
Me and the dog right now. Well, I have Christmas, but it'd be a lot of work just for me. I mean.
So no tree?
There's in D.C., like, no tree.
It would probably be sadder if there was a tree there.
Wow.
You are the worst person alive.
What?
We no presents underneath it. It's just one stocking hanging up.
See?
You don't like the whole Christmas spirit?
No, I do. Yeah. I love it. It just felt silly. It's like I don't have kids. It's like I don't think the dogs would notice. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Do you
get
them a present?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Of course I do.
So where's that going?
Oh, it's just going to be unwrapped and given to them so they can eat it. Like if the present isn't food, they don't want it. It either needs to be food or something that they can tear into 1,000 pieces.
Okay.
It's either got to be food or something that they think is food. That's it. But I don't know. I was just wondering.
So the house is decorated.
We have our Christmas extravaganza
tomorrow.
Trying to figure out what we're going to do.
Okay.
You want to do one small thought
or
no? Should we just do something else?
I'm ready.
Sam Amick is going to join us. I wonder if Sam Amick's house is decorated.
Oh, I bet.
I bet. He's got a couple.
Kids,
he's got a couple of little ones. Sam Amick will join us at 2:10. Next hour, 2:10, right here on The Lowdown. One small thought. You?
Yeah, east or north? Where should I go first?
Let's go north.
North. Baltimore Ravens, your favorite team. One small thought. Let's start there. How about that offense? No, seriously, how about that offense? The Baltimore Ravens were terrible offensively. Joe Flacco was having a terrible year. I found this stat, and I couldn't believe it. They are actually the highest scoring team in the AFC in the second half of the season. I know that's a smaller sample size, but
no
AFC,
way. I don't
the last
believe
eight
it.
Games, they have been in the second half of the season after being touchdown challenged the first part of it. In the first 7 weeks, Baltimore averaged 18 points per game, which ranked 23rd. Since week 8, the Ravens are putting up 30.7 points per game, trailing only the Eagles and the Rams.
I
don't think that's real.
You're misinformed.
Did they score 100 one week and we didn't know? And that
they had that shootout with Pittsburgh.
But what else? I don't think it's right. I'm reporting fake news, I think.
I hope you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ravens in the playoffs.
Ugh.
So, again, we didn't know why they were good or how they were good. We thought their defense was good. All kidding aside, if their offense is strong in the in the postseason with a good defense, I don't think them as a threat, but maybe we should.
If we made our Christmas extravaganza or New Year's Eve extravaganza that we're doing next Wednesday, one of my biggest missteps this season was the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I did not think that they would be good at all.
And I still don't even know if they are, but there they are.
If they're doing what you say they're doing, their defense is really good. Like, I just didn't believe. Like, I don't know how or why. They continue to hold up. It's the system, right? The system works, and they find the players that work for their system because the old guard, I mean, Suggs is there. That's fine.
That's
most of the old guard
though
is gone.
Yeah.
But it's still there doing what it's been doing for, you know, the better part of, what, 10, 12, 13 years now?
I mean, as much as, they've been successful.
Well, that hurts.
Cincinnati Bengals, one small thought. What's next for Marvin Lewis and then also for the Bengals? Now, Marvin Lewis, that whole thing was a little bit weird to me. Like, he's not going to be renewed. He says he's going to be gone, but he's been very vague about that. Players seemed confused last week when the report came out that it looked like they were definitely not bringing him back or he wasn't going to be back. There's just, it's a little confusing. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. He was even more vague this week, saying, "No, I think I'd like to coach again, but you know, we're approaching this the same way, just week by week, and it's What's going on here? As far as looking for the next one to lead the Bengals, feels like they need an offensive mind. I think that's what they need, a little jolt of somebody that Marvin Lewis came in from the Ravens, defensive guy. I feel like there's enough offense to be better than they are. And so even if that's a quarterback change or sticking with Dalton, decent running game, A.J. Green's a good receiver, they need to find somebody to get that ball moving.
They're a head scratcher.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been this bad.
Not this bad. Mm-hmm. Not this bad. Next up, Cleveland Browns. One small thought on them. John Dorsey, you're the next one on the list that we'll be watching. And the quarterback list, that's a thing. We go through that. All the people that have been in Cleveland that have failed. The guys that have been coaches, we've done that and failed. How about the GM list? Well, John Dorsey comes in, and he's now in charge there, taking over from after coming over from Kansas City. Now, here's some good news, potentially, for the Browns. Dorsey was the general manager of the Chiefs from 2013 through 2017. In those five drafts that he drafted for the Chiefs, he produced four Pro Bowl players. In those same five drafts, the Cleveland Browns selected zero Pro Bowlers. So, nice. Got to evaluate talent. GM is a part of that. Coaching, it sounds like they're going to keep Hugh Jackson. Find the quarterback. It's a long growth, but maybe it can happen with talent. And the last one, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the North here. Pro Bowl is nice, but this team wants Super Bowl. They led the NFL selections with eight Pro Bowlers. They had Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Chris Boswell, Alejandro Villanueva, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, and Ryan Shazier. Wow. Shazier made it, which was cool. Cam Hayward felt snubbed, though. He has 10 sacks. He was not on the list. But Pittsburgh has two games to go. They need to avoid that Patriot hangover. Great game last week. Focus, though, has to be on how they play without Antonio Brown, one of their Pro Bowlers. And I still think of them as a Super Bowl threat. They just got to bounce back this week.
Let's go to the AFC South here. Jay Ross, we give you one small thought on the Tennessee Titans. And this is a story Garrett Temple would love. Wesley Woodward and at least 10 of his defensive teammates have opted to eat vegan diets this season.
How about that?
Tennessee's defenders say they feel energized by their nutrition adjustment, something that's helped the unit rank third against the run and fifth in the league with 40 sacks. Woodward's been in the league 10 NFL seasons. Matter of fact, linebacker Derek Morgan's wife, Charity Morgan, is now feeding the 11 Titans, sometimes the wives as well, with more apparently on a waiting list. She's dished out advice to other wives about handling vegan dinners and when they're at home. And some of the favorites include vegan crab cakes, pea protein burgers, and Charity Morgan apparently has her own take on In-N-Out special sauce. Titans are 8-6, and the defense ranks 13th overall in the league. So, vegan is the way to go. I have some thoughts on the Texans, Colts, and Jaguars as well. We will wrap up one small thought next here on Sports 1140.
Oh, we are gearing up for our Christmas extravaganza tomorrow at noon.
Tune in to find out what all of that means. Some of you are pretty funny here on the text line, by the way. And by funny, I mean not. I'm so weak in the car laughing at Damien's Christmas. You guys are not nice. I'm just like you, Damien. When I see people full of holiday joy, it makes me uncomfortable. That's Marty from Philly.
Come on, Marty.
Y'all ain't right, man. Y'all are not right. Neither are the Texans. Hey, remember when Deshaun Watson was lighting up the league and he tore his ACL and came in the next day? Well, we asked the question, what are you going to do to replace Watson? And they went with Tom Savage and T.J. Yates and then Matt McGloin. Then they released Matt McGloin and brought in some guy named Josh Johnson who hadn't thrown a pass since 2011. Well, over his next five starts, this was Tom Savage. He threw for five touchdowns, six interceptions, completing 56.5% of his passes. The Texans went 1-4. Then Tom Savage was famously annihilated by Elvis Dumervil in Week 14 against the San Francisco 49ers. May never be seen or heard from again. Somehow he was allowed to return to the game for a couple more plays before T.J. Yates came in and took that job, I guess. Well, he was demolished by the Jacksonville Jaguars 45-7. He completed 38.7% of his passes. The Texans are 4-10 on the year and 1-6 since they decided to fill their quarterback vacancies with the likes of T.J. Yates, Tom Savage, and Matt McGloin. I guess there wasn't a single quarterback out there
Yeah.
who could have done better than that.
Couldn't have thought, think of one.
Not one. The Colts, on the other hand, they've lost five in a row, but three of those have come by 6 points or fewer, and one was in a snowstorm in overtime. Last week, the Colts led Denver 10-0 in the second quarter, and 13-7 well into the third, before giving up 18 straight points. Now, a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, they had a chance to beat Buffalo. Prior to that, the Colts led the Tennessee Titans that we just talked about a few minutes ago by 10 points in the third quarter. They ultimately lost 20-16. They even led Pittsburgh at one point 17-3 before ultimately losing that game. Maybe the Colts aren't quite as bad as we think. Or maybe those are teams playing down to the level of their competition. But man, oh man, they have a whole lot of off-season questions coming up here in just about, a week and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the season, it's possible that 20 teams, that's nearly two-thirds of the league, will have either made the playoffs this season, last season, or both. Through 14 games, the best point differentials in the NFL belong to two teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. The Rams, plus 166, and the Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 165. Both of them are 10-4 after last season winning 4-3 games, respectively. Their biggest question all year is Blake Bortles. We know how good their defense is. Their defense has lived up to everything that we thought they were going to be a year ago. Blake Bortles, this month of December, has a completion percentage of 71%, a quarterback rating of 128.1, and 7 touchdowns. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, he's getting hot in time for the playoffs.
Perfect timing.
Hey.
Yeah.
He's on the books next year if the Jaguars choose for $20 million. If he continues to play like this, they're going to have a decision to make.
They will. Big one. All right, let's go to the AFC East. My next division here, Buffalo Bills. Bills finally playing a game against the Patriots in December. That actually means something. This weekend will be abnormal for the Bills. Buffalo is at New England with hopes of breaking their long playoff drought. They can't get in or even officially be eliminated this weekend, but a win would go a long way for the Bills. Their hope is that the Patriots are on that Pittsburgh hangover we were talking about earlier. Teams in the division tend to do a better job the second time they get a look at the Patriots, but Buffalo's been had their moments this year, and they still have an opportunity to make this a special season, as it's been 17 years since they made the postseason. Well, Miami Dolphins, one small thought for them. How is this team in the playoff race?
Ugh.
I mean, they technically are. And what are we going to remember from this year's Dolphins season? Jay Cutler's return, the win over the Patriots. That was a nice win. The fact that they can actually make the play.
We're not going to win anything. I don't remember anything.
But they're in it. At 6-8.
They're not in it.
You're right. First and foremost, they have to win their final two. That's obvious. They have to beat Kansas City. They have to beat Buffalo. I don't know if either of those will happen. That would get them to 8-8. They need about five different other scenarios that could get them in. It would take a Christmas miracle, but the fact that they are still in play is honestly surprising to me. New England Patriots, Belichick is good, but he will need to make this week feel big for the Pats. They've got to worry about that hangover we've been talking about. Last week in Pittsburgh, it felt like a playoff game. It was emotional. It was controversial. It was well played, but it's over. And so they have to move on. They host a Buffalo team that will be playing with desperation. Pats should too, but it's not always easy to manufacture that. So that emotion will be authentic from the Bills. The Pats will try to combat that with their own stellar skills. They did find out that Gronk, who, you know, sometimes I don't know that we need to be reminded, but we were reminded last week how special of a player he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so difficult to cover.
Unguardable,
yeah,
man.
AFC Offensive Player of the Week after what he did last week and really helped the Patriots get a nice comeback win. And the last one, the New York Jets. QB is crucial, and the Jets are a prime example of that. This team really should be applauded for their five wins and being competitive in so many of its games this year. Josh McCown was a big reason for that in his resurgent season. The Jets were paying for opponents. The McCown got hurt. Now it's Bryce Petty, and it's just not the same. There's no same kind of spark. They finished with the Chargers and then the Patriots. Feels like this team will end with just the five wins and focus now on their offseason and their draft and how they're going to try to get better. But I don't think, you know, compared to other teams, I feel like the Jets season has been a little bit, it's been more memorable than most five-win teams.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the Jets are one of the teams that the Chargers have as we shift over here to the AFC West. The Chargers obviously have the Jets, you just mentioned, and the Raiders ahead. They can win both of those games. And the help that they need along the way, it's not really unthinkable. They need maybe a loss by Buffalo or a couple losses by Tennessee. None of it is really truly outlandish stuff. Phillip Rivers starts the season through 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. They were 0-4. Since then, he's thrown 17 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. That's in the past 9 games. Melvin Gordon's yards per carry have increased almost an entire yard during that same stretch. The Chargers are also averaging 372.7 yards per game. That is the 5th highest in the NFL. I will say this. I tried to pinpoint like what really helps Rivers thrive as they head into these final 2 games of the season. When you look back at that game last Saturday, the Chiefs defense is what got them. The Chiefs defense was special, perhaps for the first time this year, and they really made life miserable for Phillip Rivers. But when he's sacked less than twice, they've won 6 of 7. When he's sacked no more than once, he doesn't throw an interception. And in the 7 games that they've won, he's thrown just 1 interception. The time in the pocket, his time in the pocket, it's almost a full second longer in those 4 games that Keenan Allen had 100-plus yards. We're going to skip a couple of teams because we got Sam Mamet coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll just get straight to the Raiders. I couldn't find a good stat on the Raiders at all. I tried. I really couldn't. So we'll just shout out their Pro Bowlers, Khalil Mack, Rodney Hudson, Kalichi Osemele, and Donald Penn. Khalil Mack, 3rd consecutive year in the Pro Bowl. He started all 14 games this season, 77 tackles, 56 solo, 10.5 sacks. That's good for 75.5 yards. He has 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. That was the awesome strip sack he had a while back in a career high. 5 passes defended. His 6 sacks since week 11 are tied for the most in the NFL. We got Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider, coming up at 2:10. We'll come back. We'll let you know exactly how you can check out your Sacramento Kings live at the Golden 1 Center. That's coming up as we kick off the 3rd and final hour of the Lowdown next.